Nearing the conclusion of this present legislative session with a rather controversial piece of legislation making its way through the Missouri Senate.
Yes, so this week the photo identification bill was passed, which means that eventually, probably, should this House joint resolution pass and go to a vote of the people, and should the people support that, that voters like you and me are supposed to present a photo identification at the polls. The Democrats have really stood up four times over the last couple of weeks for long periods of time to fight this legislation. We believe it disenfranchises voters, particularly low-income people, particularly older people, whose access to underlying documentation that would allow them to get a photo ID is going to be difficult to get. And, you know, not everyone has a driver's license. Not everyone has the kind of documentation that will be needed to vote, which is why we stood up for so long against this. And now let me tell you why the Democrats agreed to sit down and let a vote occur. The bill was rewritten with amendments that will allow a person who does not have a photo ID to come to the polls and vote and just sign his or her name, stating under penalty of perjury that that is who that person is. So it's really, in essence, not much different than going to the polls now. You will also have to bring some sort of identification, but it doesn't have to have your photograph on it. So, for example, a utility bill that shows your name and your address, and that and your signature will allow you to vote, and this is an actual vote, not a provisional vote. So that is the crux of what we did. At the same time, when you go to the polls, you'll be reminded that you're going to, and I think it would be beneficial for all those who can, get a photo ID. Some information should be provided to you about what you need to do to get that. And should all this legislation actually go through the process and the voters approve the House joint resolution that will eventually be on the ballot, those underlying pieces of identification a person needs in order to get his or her photo ID will be paid for by the state. So we think that those provisions are very helpful. We knew that this bill was going to come to a vote whether or not we were willing to stand down. So we stood down in order to make sure that in this upcoming important election and going forward for as long as this bill is in place, that all a person needs to do is to sign his or her name stating that they don't have the photo identification that is required under the legislation. So not a great week for the 220,000 voters that we feel might be disenfranchised through this, but I think that the compromise that we reached is one that all of us feel pretty good about. In addition to photo identification, we've had an anti-labor, anti-working person bill that was vetoed by the governor. It's called Paycheck. Some call it protection. Some call it paycheck deception. Certainly the Democrats in the Senate all opposed this legislation. It passed through the Senate and the House. The governor vetoed it. It was overridden in the House, which means it will be coming back to the Senate. And I think the reason it was left for next week is because, as you've heard, next week is our final week of the legislative session. And I believe that we will have people standing up on that until the pro tem issues a previous question, a PQ, which forces an end to debate and requires a vote. So that is something that we may see happen next week. And again, I think that it's clear to everyone that this is an anti-union bill that will hurt working families. So very disappointing to see that make its way through the process when we have things that we're not even talking about, like taking care of our kids in the public education system, making sure that we know what's going to happen as some of our unaccredited districts now become accredited, what happens with the transfer program, how do we do what we can that is in the best interest of kids? Do they get to stay at the school they transferred to? Do they need to go back? How does money change hands? All those kinds of questions. Working on expansion of health care to all Missourians. In particular, I'm talking about those lower income families that fall between the federal poverty level and below to 19% of the federal poverty level. Those are people who don't get Missouri Health Net or Medicaid in the state and also are not eligible for Affordable Care Act subsidies. So these are people, a family of four who makes over $5,000 a year and under $25,000 a year. These families are not eligible to receive any kind of help or assistance to access health care in the state of Missouri. Those Those are the kinds of issues I think we should be paying attention to and working on, rather than issues that undermine a person's ability to join forces and be in a union to make sure that benefits and wages are reasonable so they can take care of themselves, or to pass photo ID legislation that actually will end up working much like a poll tax, requiring something of people that many can't get access to. So I think that our priorities would be very different if the numbers of Democrats in the legislature and the number of Republicans were reversed or even were more balanced. We've had several conference committees where the Senate and the House get together and talk about the differences in amendments put on by each chamber, and we try to agree on what amendments will stay in what usually becomes an omnibus bill. So I've been very active in those negotiations, and we'll see some legislation that has come out of those, some of them around, for example, pharmacy benefits, making sure that if, for example, you run out of eye drops in the middle of a prescription because maybe you spilled some on your face, which I've done before, or on the counter, that you're able to get a renewed prescription earlier than the 30-day limit. Things that we can all agree upon to help get your, if you're taking more than one medication, to get you on a schedule so that they're all aligned and they all become due at the same time. Some common sense kinds of things that are done to help people. So those are some of the pieces of bills that we are passing out of those conference committees. I want to talk about this week. I'm very excited to announce that William Wallace, who is a resident in our district, who is currently serving as a temporary appointee to the Missouri Veterans Commission, now has been officially approved, not only appointed by the governor, but approved by the Senate. Bill is the executive director at U.S. Vets, and he has just had a wonderful career in his relatively young life, but he's done some wonderful things. He actually is a graduate of Country Day High School, and during his Senate committee hearing, one of the other senators asked him if he was possibly the soccer player who kicked him and broke his ankle back in, 1978 or so. So we had a little laughter around that. Apparently a very good soccer player. He was the goalie, but a graduate of University of Virginia, and just has done wonderful work throughout his career in professional theater and acting and video production, as well as being in the Army and working with veterans. And this is his passion. And so for him to be able to serve on the Veterans Commission is terrific. I know he'll continue to be a great addition. And finally, I just want to say, we'll probably have one more podcast, but Dean Morgan, who has come into my office every week since we started this to start me off, to ask the right question, and somebody who actually knows and pays attention to everything that goes on the floor. It's been a real pleasure and delight to work with you, and I just want to say thank you for your help in getting the word out to my constituents.